Just think about the ways that that supper in the upper room was such a highly charged event. Ever since Jesus had triumphantly entered Jerusalem, things had gotten intense. Jesus became even more provocative in his confrontations with the scribes and the Pharisees. He had turned over the tables in the temple and seemed to be intent on adding more fuel to his enemy's fire. Something was clearly coming to a head. And it's Passover, a Jewish festival packed with significance of God's past deliverance, but also a reminder of the high cost that deliverance entails. The Jewish festival that we now know points to the salvation that would come through the sacrificial death of Jesus, foreshadowed by the blood of Passover lambs being the key to Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Jesus would have seen the shadow of the cross looming. He is aware of the suffering and death that he's about to experience. So aware that later when he prays about it in the Garden of Gethsemane, he begins to sweat drops of blood as he begs God to let this cup pass from him. He has a foreboding of the darkness he is about to experience that will cause him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? All this is on his mind and in his heart as he prepares to celebrate Passover with his disciples. As if that dark cloud wasn't enough, Jesus also knows about the betrayal, the denial, and the desertion that will happen later this very night by the very people he is sharing this meal with, people he has shared his life with 24/7 for these past 3 years. The emotional pain of that betrayal by those closest to him might loom as large as the physical pain he's about to experience. Jesus would have also been aware that this was his last chance to communicate with his disciples before his death. His 3 years of teaching them, modeling a life of prayer and dependence upon God, preparing them for this next season of ministry, was now coming to an end. And he had this one last supper with them. What could he say and do in this short time to prepare them for what they were about to experience? It's into this highly charged meal, this last supper that Jesus would have with his disciples, his last chance to make sure that they had what they needed from him, that Jesus enacted two of his most memorable object lessons. Lessons imbued with significance that could help them in the future make sense of the horrible events that were about to unfold. The first lesson was that he washed their feet. He, their beloved teacher and leader, the one they had come to recognize as the Messiah who came from God in heaven, humbled himself to do the menial task of a servant, taking on that dirty job as a beautiful act of service to his disciples. In that act, he was showing that he was a different kind of Messiah than they were expecting, demonstrating what leadership looks like in the kingdom of God that he'd been proclaiming, revealing how power is to be used in that kingdom. Leadership means service. Power is to be displayed through humility and sacrificial love. Jesus was showing them that his upcoming death on the cross was not weakness or defeat, or an end to the kingdom he'd been proclaiming, but was the very embodiment of all that he had been demonstrating, power that is used to benefit and bless others, loving leadership that is shown through sacrifice and service. And he gives them this new commandment, love others as I have loved you. This sacrificial, self-giving love was to be their guiding principle going forward. The second lesson was this highly charged supper itself, shared in the shadow of the upcoming cross. A Passover meal already rich in symbolism, now given more meaning and significance that would live on in their memory as he commanded them to repeat this meal in remembrance of him. As he broke the bread and lifted up the cup, he communicated to them again the necessity of his death, because of the salvific, redeeming work it would accomplish. Again, the image of self-sacrifice for the sake of others. His body broken, his blood shed. He gave to the disciples and through them to us these acts in which we would remember his death. Actions that would give hope as they foreshadow the heavenly banquet that is to come. Actions that would give us a common sacrament that would join Christ followers in every time and place, uniting us around Jesus' sacrifice and providing spiritual nourishment so that we can carry on Jesus' work of proclaiming the love and grace of God. I remember a highly charged Maundy Thursday back when I was in seminary. One of the times in my life when I most felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. In the midst of a personally challenging finals week, I was getting ready for a mission trip to Kobe, Japan, where a devastating earthquake had hit, and preparing to provide training in trauma counseling for pastors who were trying to minister in the wake of that crisis. Meanwhile, I felt so far away from being able to help my mom, who was experiencing her own crisis because her house had just flooded. And on top of this, probably heaviest of all, in my counseling practicum, one of my clients, who had been struggling with past abandonment and current abuse, was now suicidal. So in the midst of finals week, I entered into a pattern of calling her every 8 hours to check in with her, to get a promise from her that she wouldn't kill herself until I talked to her next, and then just praying like crazy that she would keep her promise. I remember feeling so heavy and burdened by the weight of human suffering and the devastating impact of brokenness and evil. As I sat in that Maundy Thursday service, something clicked for me. I recognized how Jesus was carrying that same burden. He felt that same weight multiplied manyfold. It was precisely because he cared about human pain and suffering so much, and because he wanted sin and evil to be defeated, that he was willing to go through the horrific events of that Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. He wanted to bring good news into this bad news that plagues us all. The bad news that comes from our sin and brokenness and the evil and the suffering that surrounds us. To mend the brokenness in and around us, he allowed his own body to be broken. To be able to dry up all the tears that are shed because of suffering and evil, he was willing to shed his own blood. His body broken, his blood shed for us and for the world. Jesus grieves as the world experiences terror attacks like the one in Brussels on Tuesday. He mourns with us over the loss of life and the fear that enters our hearts. Our heart is heavy with the continuing cycle of hate and violence that is often provoked when something like this happens. He aches for all who are suffering because of poverty or injustice, persecution or oppression. He grieves with those who grieve. He feels personally for each one of us, for our brokenness that wounds ourselves and others, for our sin that keeps us stuck. With the weight of all this on his shoulders, Jesus chose to carry forward with God's plan of salvation, to take this burden on himself so suffering and evil, sin and death would not have the last word. Foreshadowed by his stooping to serve to wash the disciples' feet, he sacrifices himself for the sake of others and allows his body to be broken and his blood to be shed. For our sakes and for the sake of the world, at that highly charged supper and in the garden and in all the events that followed, Jesus carried out God's plan for humanity's salvation, as he said, not just with words, but with his life, "Thy will be done." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.